I'm Ella.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to
The Intersectional Yoginis Podcast.
Join us as we explore a variety of topics that impact us as women of color through a yogic lens.
Hope you don't mind irreverence and me cursing like a sailor.
Sprinkled in with a little satire and sass.
A little?
Well, we cover serious subjects that are important to us.
So if you're curious, keep listening.
Namaste.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome, yogis and yoginis.
How are you?
Me?
Yes, you.
I'm How doing are you, well.
Hannah Rodriguez?
Why, Mela Lopez? I am just fine. Thanks for asking. How are you? You're in a musical tone.
I am. It's the piano classes. I need to practice almost every day. So, yeah. I've been pretty musical lately.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are you learning?
Well, I'm kind of like learning like from chords, but at the same time, I knew some music theory, so I'm like reviewing that and doing a little bit of sight singing. So it's like working on getting better at chords at the same time as working on like playing by note.
Okay.
Until they
come together.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, basically, I don't really have any goals except for like go work out for my brain.
Yeah.
It's good for my soul.
Yeah.
And also it's a group class with my all friends from musical theater school. So that's fun too.
Yeah, an excuse to get together.
The level of gayness is all the way up. We're like, the first song that we chose is, of course, Celine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's all coming back. It's all coming back to me. That's what we're playing this week.
Nice.
I mean,
so fun.
Guess what? It's the next sun, but I'm sure it's going to be within the range of the colors of the rainbow because that's who we are. Very colorful bunch. What about you? What's new?
Oh, you know, just grad school.
Oh, yeah.
Just school.
Yeah.
Just learning. Fun fact. I'll share. I've already shared with you. But fun fact I learned. Fun fact. I learned is that mainly the serotonin cells in the body are located in the gut. 98% are located in the gut. Only 2% are in the brain.
Because you would think like, oh, neurotransmitter. How do you say that?
Neurotransmitter.
Transmitter.
Yeah.
Because in Spanish it's neurotransmisor, so it's like transmitter.
Oh, transmitter.
But it's transmitter.
Yeah.
They're in the brain, but no.
98% are in the gut, which is like why
the importance of
like nutrition, the importance of eating, or why when you literally eat shitty food, you feel shitty moods. Or the opposite. Like if you eat really good, fresh, clean, fun foods, like that helps to elevate your mood.
Yeah.
Because all the action is happening in the gut.
Yes.
So, and that also too kind of correlates with like gut feelings.
Yeah.
Literally, we're always like, oh, that gut feeling. I had that gut feeling. Or like that intuition. I think there's literally the scientific backing of the fact that the serotonin cells are there. That's contributing not only like, oh, intuition might seem out there or not tangible.
Yeah.
But when you bring in the fact of where the neurotransmitters are taking action, it's like, oh, yeah, that is in the gut. That is why you have gut feelings, literally.
And here I am thinking it's a fart. Yeah. I always assume it's gas.
Like it's just gas.
You know me.
Oi.
Well, yeah, turns out
it's just those neurotransmitters, yo.
That's serotonin.
Yes. So that's been the most fun fact I've learned thus far.
Well, it's fun enough.
Yeah. It's cool. And it helps me just to have some kind of backing of credibility as far as why I always suggest a healthy way of eating and like why nutrition is important within therapy, within therapy or like mood disorders.
And I think the first step to that is awareness, because there's so much misinformation about what is healthy and what isn't. And there's also all of these ideas. I mean, some of them are ideas and another, like, and some of them are the reality of how inaccessible healthy food is in certain places, in certain areas, or for some people, depending on, like, one is you can't afford it. Two, there's, like, these food, well, now there's a new name for that, that it's not food desert, because it's really not a food desert, like, how would you say, like, because of nature, it's like a man-made.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a name for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Apathade? I can't remember. I always come here without knowing my words. I cannot even.
I don't know. I know. It's because it's later in the day.
There, you know, that situation in which, like, in different neighborhoods, you can get quality food.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the information needs to be out there. There's so much misinformation coming even from, like, health professionals that don't know specifically about nutrition.
Yeah.
They're like, you go to this, like, nutritionist and they're like, yeah, I have this ham and cheese sandwich for breakfast, or, like, egg and ham.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to me, like, now it's like, what the fuck? Before it was, like, normal.
Yeah, like, that's
because everything was, like, very, like, oh, calories and, like, macros. That's all. Like, if you balance, like, protein and carbs and fats, and you have how many calories, that's it. That's nutritious. That's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And everything revolves about weight, too. Like, oh, you lose weight, you're good. You gain weight, no.
Good for you, yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah. No, that's not it at all. It's totally changing. And the fact, too, of, you know, if you have any type of mental strain or mental illness even, or mood disorder, anything like that, like, you're going to have to eat differently if you want to feel different.
Even what we were saying, even when you're on your period, that you're losing minerals and you need a different diet
for
those days, depending on how you're feeling or what symptoms you might be having.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because again, we can go in and we can, like, literally talk to our body or ask our body, like, what are you in need of? What are you craving? Like, one of my clients the other day, he was, like, checking in. He said, I just have a headache. I'm like, dude, you always have a headache every week when we check in. What's going on? He said, literally ask your body what is going on. And he, like, waited a minute and he's like, oh, I'm dehydrated.
Yeah.
And he's like 17. You know what I mean? He's still learning the concept of connecting with the body. But it was interesting because then he was like, wait, oh, I'm dehydrated. I'm like, yeah, like, literally you can just pause, take a step back, take a breath and ask your body, and your body would be like, this is what I need. I need water right now.
This is usually the answer to whatever I'm feeling. I rarely get sick, but when I get some sort of sign or symptom, it's usually like, I feel lightheaded, or I feel dizzy, or I feel like, a headache. And it's always because I'm dehydrated. Always. That's the only reason I feel bad, usually.
Yeah. Which doesn't, I mean, I don't think a lot of, well, maybe they do, I don't know. But I feel like when people get headaches, they're just kind of like, oh, like, my head hurts. And just keep trying to push on and keep going and try to ignore it. And it's like, no, no. Like, your body is talking to you to that extreme sense, to where it's like alerting you, like, hey, listen, like, I need something.
Or even worse, take some, like, over-the-counter
shit. Yeah, just to hush it.
Dehydrate you more.
Right.
Because it goes, it has to go through the pad of, like, liver, kidneys, and you need to flush that.
Yeah.
So it's just worse for you.
Yeah.
Drink water.
Drink water. Stay hydrated.
How do you, like, do you have to, like, force yourself, or is it easier? Are you already, like, do you already develop the habit?
Well, sometimes, I mean, what I realized is that me having a water bottle, like, I always have a water bottle with me, but sometimes I just have it for, like, comfort, and I don't actually drink the water.
So you have now developed the habit of bringing your water bottle everywhere you go.
Yes. Good. Which is a start.
It's a start.
But yeah, now it's like, okay, you still need to drink the water in here. Like, I should be drinking 3 to 4 water bottles full throughout the day. And the fact that I haven't even drank one, I'm like, oh! So what I try to do is have a glass of water right near my bed or like right in the bathroom that is room temperature so that when I wake up in the morning, I can just like do 8 ounces, just drink a cup of water. And that helps me to progress my water drinking throughout the day. Because if I skip that, I don't know, it's very weird, but I like don't even remember to drink water.
That happens to me with food. If I start my day with like a juice or fruit or like something like some raw veggies, I keep craving what I'm supposed to be craving, like what's good for my body. If not, I just eat shit. Like I'm craving like fat and carbs, fried carbs.
Yeah. Fried carbs. Let's get it.
Yes, french fries.
Yes. Yes, potato chips. Dude.
Yeah.
I hear that.
But it's how the body works. It's supposed to tell you what it needs, but it only can tell you what it needs if it's functioning.
Right.
So it's like a catch-22 because, you know, if you don't feed it what it needs, it's going to ask for something super shaky.
Yeah. And then, like, it just goes, well, I don't want to say downhill, but.
But yeah.
But yeah, it kind of does just tumble because it gets to the point where, you know, they make all those, like, Snicker commercials of, like, being hangry, right? It's like at some point, if you're not noticing what the body needs when it's calling for it, it's going to get to a point where you are aware.
Yeah.
So it's like that hangry, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat whatever. So angry with them. Well, usually that's like my main emotion, anger.
Yeah. Well, and your pitta.
Yeah.
You're fire already. You're fire energy.
So usually like now I mean, after my depression, it was like sadness. So now I can like, I can access that more easily. But usually, or like before, it was sadness or whatever, like worry, sadness, anxiety. They would all manifest as anger.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the secondary emotion.
Yeah.
On top of all those core
primary emotions. Like frustration, anger.
Yeah.
Like whatever.
Yeah, anything. Whatever it's just like, yeah. And again, bring in the serotonin. Like, it's all happening in the gut or the lack of whatever's happening in the gut. Then it's like, well, okay. Of course.
It's so basically, do you want to work in your intuition? Eat better.
Yeah.
Feed your gut.
Yeah, feed your gut. Like, listen to what your body wants. Or ask. Ask your body. Take a moment, step back, and be like, what do I need right now? Not what the ego wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I want a donut all the time.
I always want vegan cupcakes. Bye.
Yes. Oh, yeah, dude.
I want birthday cake for breakfast every day. Bye.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah, so you have to filter out those wants in the addiction of sugar. Right? Because that's a drug in itself. Soda.
Heard
here. My goodness. Yeah, just taking that step back to talk to your body.
Yeah.
Helps to develop intuition and helps to build trust with yourself. Because when your body knows it can trust you to give, that you're giving your body the things it needs, it's like, okay, I can depend on you. And that builds emotional trust, mental trust, whole shebang.
All the things. So beautiful. What are we talking about today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So thank you for tangent that we went on.
Very important food. Feed your gut.
Feed the gut.
Neurotransmitters. Serotonin. Take note.
Yes.
Hannah pays for grad school, but we all learn from it, so.
Hey, everyone better learn from it, because otherwise, why the hell am I taking this class? 3 classes. Are you kidding? Like, I better be sharing all this shit.
Yeah.
So, along with that, I want to talk about the yamas of yoga.
Which is the first limb of the 8 limbs of yoga. The yamas. Which are 5, how would you call them?
There are 5 basically abstinences. I don't know how you
say. So there are 5 pluralize don'ts. That.
But yeah, kinda. Basically 5 like don't do this, like withhold this.
Try to not
do this as much, right? So one of the books that I learned through my yoga teacher training is called True Yoga
by Jenny Lee.
And it's so fun too because Jenny Lee is also a mental health therapist.
Nice.
In Hawaii. So,
I know. Nonetheless.
I'm like, hey. But the people who taught me yoga at Cambio, they know her. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to share this book with us through TT. And it's really cool because as a therapist as well, I've been able to utilize it within my work of therapy and yoga, both actually. Mm-hmm. Yes. But the yamas. So the yamas are things number you abstain from. So, number one.
Oh, I don't think we can even.
What? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, we can't.
I don't think so. I don't think we're allowed.
We're not supposed to like hum a melody of a song or do because anything of copyright. Around a because, melody. And I've been having this song. It's a good one. I was singing it. It's a really good one. And I was using it to do the our sound
mic
check.
Test. Yeah.
Yeah. But now I can sing it to you.
Yeah.
I did sing some Celine.
Oops.
Oopsie.
Are we allowed?
I don't know.
Well, it was,
I mean,
we'll have to figure that out.
It wasn't even a bar. It was like a bar.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see. If we get sued, we'll let you know.
Hopefully not. You know what they say? What is that phrase where they're like, do it and get permission later or something?
Yeah. Es mejor pedir perdón que pedir permiso. It's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yes. And that's the rule I live by.
That's the rule you live by. I'm the opposite. I was, at least before, now I'm like, I don't give a fuck, but before, I was very like, no, but like, those are the rules. Like, to me, those were like, unbreakable. Mm. If it was a rule, it was like, no, but like, we're not supposed to.
Ah.
Yeah. Hannah is more of a rebel.
I blame my dad.
And the, yeah. Yeah, I've heard the stories. Yeah. Ray is something else. But like, to me. For example, coming from, like, my parents, it was, like, whatever. Oh. But, like, from the law or, like, oh, from school yeah. or something like that, it was, like, ooh.
Even growing up?
Yeah.
Okay. So just always?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I think I was like that, too, growing up. Mm-hmm. But then I think, not that I got in trouble with the law ever, really, but I don't know. I think I had some sort of defiance or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because even as I became a school counselor, like the principals would like educate the school counselors and the teachers to be like, okay, we have rules within the school system, but you're allowed to question them and you can bend the rules, but don't break them. And I was like, I'm confused. I'm confused because as a professional, I'm getting a mixed message compared to when I was a student in school. I'm not allowed to break any rules as a student. But then as a professional, I'm like allowed to bend the rules. So then I was like,
what
okay,
does that mean?
I got permission. Dude, literally.
Still to this day.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I was just like, all right, well, permission.
Yeah.
For forever now. Mm-hmm. For anything now.
Yeah.
So anytime something comes up or I get like a notification or something that is not what I want, I'm like, wait, do I have the power to say something about this? Like, I'm going to email them.
Oh, yeah. Hannah emails every company.
I don't care. Yeah. Like, if they tell me something and it's, like, BS or, like, sorry, I can't help you. I'm like, wait, what? Like, that, I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. And is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I don't know? Is it because I'm not in this industry? I don't care.
Or is it because you're lazy? Is it because you hate your job?
Yeah. Like, what is this problem? Or why aren't you helping me? Like, I don't understand. I will just go to the next person or higher up or whatever. Because why not?
Let me speak to your manager.
Let me speak to your manager. Now, I'm not necessarily like that because usually I can just be like, we're going to figure this out. Like, I'm not, we don't need to deal with all
I
that.
I might need to talk to someone else.
But also that, if you're not helping me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't think we're getting anywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. The only time I haven't done that is when I went to court.
She went to court, y'all.
And the thing is that sometimes you just have to plead guilty.
So first she's like, I've never been in any trouble with the law. And then she's like, but when I went to court.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why rules are meant to be questioned. So,
was that like parking tickets or something?
Yeah, it was speeding ticket. It was speeding ticket. Oh, it's so stupid.
Speeding tickets.
Not well, that it was stupid, but.
Yeah, speeding is not that stupid. It's parking not, tickets sometimes is like.
Parking tickets is stupid. And I've tried to fight parking tickets and got denied. So. Then I'm like, okay, I accept because whatever.
Because I fought.
But there is the truth of being guilty for real. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was speeding.
Yeah.
and I had to go to court. There wasn't an option. I had to. So I was like, okay, I guess I just plead guilty here. This is irrelevant, though, but...
This is Ray's daughter. This is... I hope he's dad. Listening. I hope Ray, I've heard the stories. I just want to say hi, and... I mean, thank you for making your daughter, but at the same time, wow.
Wow, I know. It's something else, you know? But anyway, the whole point of this story is rules are meant to be...
Bent.
Not broken.
Flexible. Flexibility.
Yeah. Which makes sense because everything is a spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not everything works for everyone the same way. Just like diet. Just like nutrition. Just like exercise. So when someone says this is the rule that applies for everyone always, like for me, I take a step back and say, no. That's a rule that was maybe made for some white man in charge of whatever. Mm-hmm. And you think that's right. But it's like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So this is why we bend them.
I'm down to bend them.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bend away. What's the first rule we're going to bend?
Well, I am sad. Except this one. Do not bend this one. See, here we go. Contradictory.
But at the same time. Okay, so let's define what it is, and then I'm going to tell you. Oh, whenever I touch the leg of this table, it's like a whole vibration. Okay. Okay, ahimsa.
Okay. Which? So basically it translates as non-violence or non-harming. Mm-hmm. But what I like that Jenny Lee does is, and hopefully we can be talking about her. I'll message her on the FB. Nice.
and ask.
But she kind of translates, so there's a technique in counseling called reframing. Mm-hmm. I think I've taught you this. But how, like, if you see something one way in the negative, you can flip it to the positive way.
Flip it and reverse it. I've heard it from Missy Elliott.
Okay, yes. Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Mm-hmm. So she reframes it as peacefulness. So ahimsa is the act of being peaceful.
Okay. And is this the practice of compassion too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, but in Sanskrit, the traditional translation is nonviolence. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do we apply this? Number one that we both do is... veganism. Ba-bing! Because with veganism, you are minimizing the harm you do to animals because you're not eating them or exploiting them. Mm-hmm. You also minimize the harm you're doing to yourself because you're eating you're eating plants.
Yeah.
So mostly healthy. I mean, I eat some frat food, but mostly. I eat fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And also, you're being non-harmful towards Mother Earth. Because industry is really toxic for the planet. And also to a lot of, I don't know if we've said this here, but a lot of, as a result of the climate crisis, the most vulnerable are the ones that suffer the consequences, like the toxic air, polluted water or soil, which are usually people in poverty, especially BIPOC women.
Mm-hmm.
So by being vegan, you're also extending that ahimsa to them.
Yes. Yeah, because your impact is so much greater than just, like, you eating better for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it literally extends so many ripples, the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And actually, when thinking about ahimsa, when I first learned this in TT, I started to bring it into even, like, killing bugs.
Yeah, that's ahimsa. I learned that in yoga school, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, I don't like bugs. So I had this tendency.
Yeah.
Growing up, like, just if it's a yuck bug, then I don't want it. I just kill it.
Yeah. It's like almost like a reflex.
Yeah.
Like, that you learn, like, oh, bug, and you try to squash. Crush, and you try to squash, and you try to kill.
Zap.
And sometimes, I mean, I get when you're in your space and you don't want a giant, like, tarantula.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right there.
Yeah.
Or something, like, poisonous, or, and then you need to, like, or the fact that you need to fumigate or whatever it is. But aside from that, we do have the reflex of just, like, oh, bug, pa, kill. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, oh, bug, okay.
Wait a minute, like, what can we do here?
Mm-hmm. What can we do? We can observe.
Yeah.
We can play.
Yeah.
We can scout them, leave the premises.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that Ahimsa has been a challenge for me because, like, they really freak me out. Mm-hmm. But I think that any time, like, I see a bug, I have now been able to breathe and be like, okay, what are you going to do about this? And sometimes it's not good. Sometimes, like, I see a bug, but I'm doing something, and now all of a sudden, like, water splashes and it goes down the drain. And I'm like, ah, I could have done so much better. I could have just not even done that.
Yeah, that's why it's a practice. Like, this whole thing is a practice. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
You just learn to become aware
so you can do better. Yeah. And again, like we talked about, the awareness of it. Mm-hmm. So like I told you, like that creepy bug was underneath like all the things on the floor. And seriously, it just like crawled away and my instinct was like, okay, I'm gonna need to kill that thing. But I couldn't find it. So I just yelled at it, you know, which is probably not the best either. But I was like, bug, do not come back here. I do not ever want to see you again. I am leaving you this little tiny opening in the window for you to crawl out or somehow get out of my place, but don't ever come here.
It was like an exorcism. I command you.
I command you to never come here again. And you know what? I've never seen him again.
He's laughing now.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one died.
And no one died. And that's the thing, too. It's like, you can just tell them, hey, I don't want you here. Or
escort them out.
Yeah, get the paper, get the thing, like get the covering, get whatever tools you need to do. Which, whatever the case, but that's a small example of like how to apply this in the everyday. Mm-hmm. And with it too, like even right now, as I was just talking, it clicked. So Ahimsa is also a practice of the mind, right? Mm-hmm. So thinking about your thoughts and not being violent or harmful with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So like when I just said,
words and actions.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it applies way further. So like if you have negative self-talk or you talk badly about yourself, like that is not practicing Ahimsa. Like that is going to be harmful for you. So the idea is to, okay, if you have that thought, because sometimes those thoughts are automatic. They just stream through. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you have a choice to then decide if you want to keep that with you or if you want to just keep letting it go. Moving right along.
Mm-hmm. Like meditation, kind of. Like,
absolutely.
Don't get caught up in the thought and follow it and start making ramifications. Just let it, observe it, acknowledge it, and let it pass. Mm-hmm. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it go.
Oh.
It wasn't okay. The right notes.
You're right. Okay, good. This is harder than I thought.
Yeah, dude, now I'm going to be... No, it's on. Now we're going to want to sing. We're going to be wanting to sing.
But at least we're catching it.
Yeah.
Quick.
Now your rebellious part is going to be like, no, I'm going to sing.
Now I'm going to try to come up with the words.
Okay, so what else of Ahimsa? You can practice it, well, thoughts, words, and actions.
Well, so I think, too, there's the aspect of cultivating it within yourself and by yourself, but then it extends toward others, right? So how do you be nonviolent or how do you be peaceful with others? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this has come up so much with the election, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, understanding that, okay, you can have your perspectives and whatever the case, but taking that outside of yourself to consciously do harm, is like not the practice of Ahimsa.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've kind of touched on Ahimsa in a couple episodes prior, just about like the riots and about like standing up for your rights and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, these are practices. Like you had just said, like it's not going to be perfect every time. We're never going to have it perfect every time. But it's just the simple acknowledgement that we have impact with each other because we're all connected. So that's the practice, cultivating in the self, but also understanding that you impact others. Yeah. So whether it's you're driving on the road, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's your friends, family, whatever the case.
Insects,
yes. Trees, plants, you know, all the things of the earth. It's it's not, or just
future generations too, because yeah. sometimes that's lost too. You're not thinking about whoever's gonna be there afterwards. Yeah. After you, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
I don't know if this was a himsa or not, because Green Matters, which is it's an account I follow on Instagram, and it's like news about the green world, about like,
okay,
you know, environmental things.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this news about Elon Musk.
Oh.
You know how I feel about him. He wants to colonize Mars and the moon, and now he was like trying to clean the garbage that we've launched to the space. There's a bunch of garbage floating in the space from the Earth, and he's supposed to be cleaning it. But obviously this is not coming from, let's clean this. Mm-hmm. such a good person. No, it's because he wants to, like, put a bunch of satellites there that are already blocking researchers and doing a bunch of harm and all of these things.
Hmm.
So, and a lot of people were like, why don't we clean the oceans first? Or why don't we do this first? And why don't, there was, like, a whole debate in the comments. Wow. And I just said, Elon Musk can suck my dick. Was that himsa? Just asking for a friend.
Just want a friend.
Because I was looking at all the comments and I'm like, you guys, like, this is not even important. Like, let's just cancel Elon Musk.
Oh my god,
I'm so over him. So a lot of people are like, but all the advances. I'm like, who do you think is going to, who do you think the benefits of these advances are going to be for? Him and his billionaire friends.
Mm-hmm.
While us, we're just going to be more controlled and oppressed by it. It's just so stupid. It's like a measuring dick contest between all the billionaires to see who can do the most
advanced thing. Technology or something?
I mean, not even that. Like, not even advanced, but just the bigger, the flashiest.
Mm.
So stupid. But I mean, was that a himsa? I mean, I'm defending the universe, the solar system.
You know, I would have to say no.
Ask Jenny Lee.
Jenny. I feel that's your pitta rising.
Yeah. I mean, that too. Yeah. But see, we're not perfect.
No. Shit comes up and we're like, what the fuck? Like, I have to deal with this right now. Yeah. I mean, I think too, it's a little bit of, I don't know, there's the push and the pull between like forward thinking and wondering how the impact is going to be, mm-hmm. compared to how the impact is, because I don't know what the impact is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that would impact or what resources he would use or need or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about this.
Yeah.
But I think ahimsa also applies to like, how can we be in the present moment,
mm-hmm.
with these things? Because when we're in the present moment, we can then, I feel, move forward with better intention.
Yeah.
So, because I know that all of these things that are hearsay or what if or whatever the case, it's like, you can get caught up, not you, but just people, yeah, in general. One can get caught up in thinking about all the possibilities, all the what, mm-hmm. ifs, all the this is going to happen, this.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely spirals a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety. Exactly. Absolutely anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Just worrying about the future. And so if we can better apply, again, those nonviolent or even peaceful conversations with ourselves or with people in the now moment, then I think that can help move more peacefulness, more compassion through future action. Because I don't really know Elon Musk. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. I don't know where he's coming from. I don't know what his worldview is. I don't know if he has any mental health illnesses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't feel I have enough information to make a judgment call about him.
Yeah.
So.
How do you feel about Jeff?
Bezos?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, wait. Okay. Scanning my brain, scanning. Okay, who could this possibly be? There's many options. Jeff Bezos, again, yeah. I don't have any resources of information because I don't know him. I don't look into him. I don't spend my time thinking about him. This is the Amazon guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I use Amazon. So on some level, I'm
making him rich.
I'm contributing to that without information. So yeah. I should probably look into more information. But also then I fight with convenience.
Yeah. It's a struggle.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But again, I guess I come from a worldview where I feel innately people are striving to do the right things and to act in the best interest of themselves and others is my personal worldview.
Yeah.
Which that's not always everyone's personal worldview. And everyone is entitled to their own personal opinion. But a lot of times the way you see the world is then that's going to shape the lens that you look through everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can help others to cultivate a glossy ahimsa worldview or lens to look through, at least understanding those are like rose-colored glasses that we can put on.
To not tell Jeff to suck my dick too. Yeah. Because I really want to. I'll try.
And yet you use Amazon.
I'll try.
Right? Yeah. And we shop at Whole Foods.
Don't even get me started on suck a dick. So moving on, the second yama is
Satya, which is, what is it, truthfulness?
Yeah, I know it is like telling the truth, but it could be like integrity or
telling the truth, being honest with self. And actually this really plays again into intuition. Because a lot of times when we're not following those intuitive instincts or we have the intuition voice and we directly go against it, then that's not building trust within ourselves. And then that's harder to then show trust to others or have others trust you when there's a lack of trust within. Because trust a lot of times comes from... So if we have a hard time trusting other people, it's usually because there's an aspect of us that we don't trust. Because trust... If you fully trust yourself, and I mean, I don't have any research or stats on this, but I feel like a lot of people who have just stable trust within themselves, like don't worry about trusting other people or not. But this is just my experience. So I don't have anything back.
They're less like on the edge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's interesting also like the order of these because... You might say, okay, I'm going to tell this truth and I can justify it by saying I'm telling the truth and it doesn't matter the consequences or how I say it or who I tell it to.
Which, but, yeah, within yoga, ahimsa always comes first. So that's like, if you take anything away from the yoga practice, anything at all.
Take ahimsa.
It should be a him, not should, but like that's the number one grounding thing. Like, yes, truth is supposed to be honored and you, telling the truth and telling people the truth is one of the practices. But if it's going to harm someone or cause someone discomfort or cause violence even, then it should be withheld or said in a different manner.
Yeah.
Like you have to check your motivation.
Exactly. Yeah. Is this just because it's so juicy that I want to just blurt it out?
Yeah.
Or is it because it's ego that I want to be the one who tells this truth before anyone else? Or is it really because you want to help someone see something and then you would have to look at the way how you present this truth? So yeah, check your motivation and your intention.
Always.
That's always, yeah.
Just that's always. All the time. Always. Because I would bet that if more people would go into interaction, checking their motive before they do, that they would say different things.
And do different things too.
Which again, like that's a practiced behavior. Like that's a learned behavior. Either way, positive or negative or neutral, it doesn't matter. It's something that if you want to get better at it, you can. But it's a practice.
And I feel like it just all goes back to ahimsa. Because it's like, if you withhold a truth and you're hurting someone by doing it, then just release the information. And the opposite too. So ahimsa always comes first.
Mm-hmm. And like an example that comes to my mind is always, you know, like you have, say, a girlfriend who's trying on outfits or whatever. And she's like, does this look good? Mm-hmm. And if you really think it doesn't look good, but you know that's going to hurt her feelings because you see she's like glowing and loving it. Like that's a consideration to be like, okay, do I tell her? I don't think it looks good. Do you just let it be? She thinks it looks good. Great. Or do you somehow phrase it in a different way? Like your answer.
You don't have to lie, right? You can just focus in. Well, I think you love it. You look, your face lights up when you're wearing it.
Yeah. Like you look confident.
Yeah.
Wearing that. It seems like you enjoy this. Slip it in a little.
That would be me. Like, right? Oh, you look so joyful. You're glowing. Yeah. You feel like you really love this fucking ugly dress.
But yeah, I mean, that's a good point too. It depends on your rapport and relationship as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or you could just be like ask a question back if you don't feel like answering. And be like, well, how do you
like
think
it?
Yeah. Like, how do you think it looks on you? Like, what are your thoughts? Like, because you're the one wearing it, not me.
Yeah.
So that's just an example that came through my mind, but
yeah, that's ahimsa's hard to me, yo.
I mean,
every day I really do have to like think about it and focus on it, because otherwise I just like blur shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, blah, blah, blah.
Which, you know, and it's part of our conditioning of mm-hmm. just whether how we grew up, whether culture, mm-hmm. whether entertainment we yeah. watch or whatever the case, like all those things are shaping us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like the awareness is always the first step in recognizing yeah. that all the music we listen to, all the content we read, everything we're watching, it's all playing a factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like where I'm from, there's a culture of like teasing, like mm-hmm. that's fun. So if you are friends with someone, that means that you're going to tease them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it can get to a level that is like acid, dude. Like,
yeah.
It's just like cruel, and you're just going like roasting each other.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I guess it comes from an exercise from like to be able to kind of like read and like have that wit back if mm-hmm. someone messes with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because of like back in the day, I guess there was like, bullying was not even like a word.
Mm.
It was just like mm-hmm. your regular day in school.
Yeah.
And it was like normal to have those like relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was kind of like a practice with your friends to be like, oh, if someone says something, I already have this.
Come back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was like training or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that is even relevant today. With kids growing up in school mm-hmm. and stuff. But we've seen the impact
mm-hmm.
of these interactions and bullying in schools to the point of so many mental health issues, mm-hmm. suicides, all
mass
this
murders.
Mass murder. Yeah, like all the shooting, everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. So on some level, it's like, okay, how do we, thinking about future generations, right? How do we pave the way for better lives for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just starting again with awareness.
Yeah. Okay, what's the third yo?
Okay, third one. I don't know if I ever say it right. Esteya? A-S-T-H-E-Y-A. Esteya?
Esteya.
Esteya.
That's how I say it in Spanish.
Esteya. Okay. Esteya. Yeah. So Esteya is basically translated in Sanskrit, non-stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jenny Lee, she flips it for generosity.
Mm-hmm. So instead of don't, do.
Mm-hmm.
Be generous.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking of being generous, you're not going to take from mm-hmm. anyone.
Yeah. And I think, too, this plays into...
energy.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Energy, time,
mm-hmm.
attention. It's not just literally physical things.
Yeah.
It's very much encompassing of... multiple things.
And again, if you put ahimsa at the front, you don't even have to think about not stealing or not lying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that comes up for me, too, is recognizing whether you're operating in a space of lack or a space mm-hmm. of abundance. Because when you feel like you are abundant and the universe is abundant and all your needs are met.
So basically focusing on what you have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just having the things you have.
Yeah.
But just recognizing like everything is always working out. So I don't need to be taking mm-hmm. things from others, or I don't need to like do the hustle to strive to get this. You know what I mean? Like it can literally be, oh, I just accept like I'm in an abundant space or an abundant flow.
Yeah.
But when you're operating in that space of lack, like that's when like the hoarding comes in. That's when like mm-hmm. the stealing.
Yes, totally. The hoarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I have now, so I'll get as much as I can. And mm-hmm. and not only hoarding like the mental illness, but like hoarding in general. Like, again, billionaires hoarding properties.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we mortals can't afford a property in yeah. these days. Because
mm-hmm.
in the 60s, you could buy a house having a like a regular...
Yeah, you're just middle class, like...
Job.
Yeah, just doing whatever the heck.
Doing whatever yeah. and like supporting a whole family of five and owning a house.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was stolen from us.
Just like our land.
Just like our land.
I laugh, but I'm serious.
Well, I'm always laughing serious. But yeah, exactly like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so it's like we have this, whatever the, I mean, that's a very, I don't want to say it's a very low frequency, but it's a frequency that resonates
mm-hmm.
this operation of lack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you told me an example of that, how like automatically you were that day when you were out for a walk and you saw these like all the sage.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
And your immediate thought was like, oh, let's take it all home.
Yeah, like I want this sage.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Hannah, calm down.
Yeah.
Like literally it's growing everywhere.
You have some in your house.
I have plenty of sage. I don't need this sage. Yeah. I don't need to be picking it off these leaves and taking it for what? Because I can?
Exactly.
No. I asked the land, hey, can I have this sage? And no the answer. Land did not answer, mm-hmm. probably because that was an ego request.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because ultimately, I'm thinking like, oh, I want it for my home cleansing kits and so I can make a profit. So all this and blah, blah, blah. And that whole spiral of money and needing money and wanting money because I want to live here and all
which
these things.
Which wouldn't be sustainable because
no.
there was a lot of sage, but not enough to like make a business out of.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And it's not even my land.
Yeah.
These
yeah.
aren't even my sage plants. Yeah. These are just in the wilderness. So like... I don't need that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my initial instinct was like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, it smells so good. It's
I
all
saw
over the
it,
place.
I found it. It's mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it all.
Yeah. And that's a practice too. It's like recognizing how can we find a balance of, yes, on some level, we need to meet our needs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, I understand how people might not apply asteya.
Because ahimsa, again, if you're starving
mm-hmm.
and you need to eat, you need to apply ahimsa towards you and you're
right.
going to fucking and you take might a steal. Loaf of bread and
yeah.
eat it.
And at that point, it shouldn't be like, oh, you stole from me. Like, let's get the cops involved. Like, let's arrest you. Like,
mm-hmm.
no, systemically, we should be figuring out these problems so that mm-hmm. people don't have to resort to violence, resort to stealing, resort to all these things.
Yes.
Just to have their basic needs mm-hmm. met.
Food. Should be free.
Let's grow it. Let's go.
Let's go.
Like,
let's go.
Seriously. I don't understand. Now, if it's something like, I'm stealing this luxury
yeah,
camera.
I'm being an
or
asshole.
Like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the store. Or I'm stealing for fun. Like, some of my clients, they just steal for fun. Because they're Cause rebelling
they
against
mm-hmm.
the man. You know, whatever. Because they're pissed that they're in
yeah.
treatment.
Yeah.
Fine. But, like, that's a different story. That's completely different motivation.
No, and again, and there's, like, mental imbalance there. Like, there's
yes.
something going on. There's addiction or there's
trauma
grief
or whatever.
Or trauma
yeah.
or all of
so
the
So many
above.
Things. Yeah. So it's like when we look at these examples, because people are like, but what if? It's like, okay, we can play but what if all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that if you're going to bring those what ifs up, we also have to address the systemic impact that is allowing these what ifs to even be a thought.
Yes.
But so with the practice of that is why I say, you know, if you're operating out of fight or flight mode, okay, I'm not mad. Yeah.
Not mad. I'm not judging. Not
mad. Like, that's
I'm not telling on you.
Yeah, like, go, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, do your thing. Like, take obviously, my bag there and take are another. Natural consequences depending on your karma and depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like people are going to operate the way they need to. And that's, like, I don't have to do anything about that on my end.
Exactly.
Or to, like, tattletale or whatever, you know? But there is also that balance, right, of making sure we're okay. So within an act of receiving, right, receiving our needs, having our needs met, and then the act of giving. And kind of almost like your post on spiritivism, we talked about, like, the breath and about the balance of giving and receiving breath with, like, the earth and the plants, right? It's like our exhale is the plant inhale.
Yeah.
The plant exhale is our inhale. So, like, it's a
symbiosis.
Yes. So it's that shared connection of giving and receiving.
Yeah. Sustainability. Again, I cannot even speak. Dude, there are some days, and I don't know why it's always on podcast recording day, but I just can't
say the words. I mean, it's Thursday.
Yeah, but yesterday was a holiday. No, I actually worked a lot yesterday. I mean, not work like clients, but I had so many things pending and I did things around the house and I worked on.
Yeah.
And also we launched. Finally launched.
Yeah.
The podcast.
The pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. So between that and. Yeah.
I was like, I'll do it in the morning. And like when I realized I'd been sitting there in the couch for like 3 hours. I'm like, I'll just do it in 15 minutes. No, dude.
No, that's how I was feeling too. Because you're like sending me the things. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I'm like, wait, Instagram won't let me do this. I'm trying to do this. I'm like adding it. I'm deleting it. I'm like, how do I spend so much time on this app or this phone? It's incredible. And then between school and then trying to upload the YouTube, I'm like, okay, I need to get out of here. Like, what's happening? Oh, look it. Okay. And right
and right here.
This goes perfect into the fourth yama, which is called brahmacharya, which is self-control or moderation. So brahmacharya says it is directly translated as like celibacy or renunciation. So it's the way we restrict our life force in certain categories.
So some people, there are like different interpretations of it because some people say that it's, well, yeah, celibacy. But to me, celibacy means the awareness of who you share your energy with. And by that, I don't mean like don't sleep around. I just mean like be aware of what you're doing and who you're doing it with and who they are doing it with. If it's like multiple people.
Yeah.
Some people have developed the ability of like guarding their energy, like be okay with that. I know I can't, so that's why I don't do it. But that is one way of seeing it. Another one is just like to be honest of, because it like means celibacy, some of it can relate to sex.
Yeah, but it doesn't sexuality. Yeah. To. No, it doesn't. Yeah.
But within the sex realm, I see it as like, be honest if you are in a relationship. Basically, like, don't cheat. Of course, if it's an open relationship, it's not cheating. If it's like a poly, whatever, you're not cheating. So just.
But have it agreed upon or have it open and aware and communicated.
Be ethical about it. See? That's what I mean.
Words.
Speak today.
No, but okay. So Jenny Lee, she says, employing balance to find the right levels of work, play, creativity, service, and moderating the exchange of giving and receiving energy within the world around us.
So basically, look out for your energy. Don't get depleted. And also, just
don't like be an excessive, you know what I mean? Like more, again, and that ties into Aseya is more is not always better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're going to burn out, mm-hmm. then, and you're not going to be able to the next day function, or you're going to affect your health mm-hmm. because you're overworking, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to have a mental breakdown and have to take 2 weeks off. All this off,
thing. Yeah. Like, what's the, yeah.
Then what's the point?
Right. And that goes along, too, with boundaries. Like, creating boundaries, mm-hmm. learning what your boundaries are, and then communicating boundaries so that you can sustain your best self.
Yeah.
As and boundaries, frequent again, as possible.
That's very linked to, like, they're all linked to ahimsa, but also, yeah. like, sati, I feel like you need to be, like, honest and truthful mm-hmm. about what you want and what you don't want. And starting with yourself, like, knowing yeah. what you want
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in order to then be able to express it.
Yes. Which, and that goes into a little bit of the, one of the niyamas, but we'll talk about that at another time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then what's the fifth?
And then the fifth one is aparigraha, which she titles this as appreciation or gratitude.
Is this a greedy thing?
Yeah, I'm wondering. I don't have the direct Sanskrit translation.
But I think this one is the, like, don't be greedy.
Yeah, basically. It's
just Jenny is trying to.
Yeah, she's reframing.
She's mm-hmm. reframing. But in the original translation, I guess,
mm-hmm.
it's like, yeah. don't be look. Greedy. Mm-hmm. Don't be wanting or taking more.
Or not, yeah, or like yearning for the, like, what you don't have to the point that it becomes unhealthy.
An obsession.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there are times when, right, like, you're setting a goal because you want something in your life. Yeah, and so, like, you set growth. A goal and you want to grow and you want to change, you want to do better and whatever. That is that for your life, for your family, for whatever the case. But yeah, it's like not that yearning to the point of then
being consumed by it.
Yeah. Because then that's stealing your time.
Mm-hmm.
That is, yeah, all the energy. And it's going against all the yamas mm-hmm. prior.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to... ahimsa. Starting yeah. with that.
Yes. Aparigraha. Meaning, I just want to see.
I was yeah. about to sing.
Oh.
And now I know I can't.
Catch yourself. Okay. So parigraha translates to non-possessiveness, non-grasping, mm-hmm. or non-greediness. Mm-hmm. So you're right.
And, so. Yeah. And also with people, right? Like, yes. Oh, trying to be like, no, you can't have more friends, Hannah. You're my...
No new friends, bitch. Yeah. Well, let's put on our yama glasses and inspect. What was that, Mella?
Dude, I feel like if I'm ever angry and you tell me let's put on your yama glasses, I would slap your ass.
It would be so funny. It's like reminding me of, have you watched that animated show or the movie Inside Out where they have all those little
yeah,
colored
yeah, yeah,
characters yeah, yeah. in your brain and like, who's operating the controls? Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
That would be, I'm the red one though.
And I'm over here like joy turning. Like, okay, guys, let's do this.
Yeah.
Sadness is just somewhere. And I'm like, okay, don't be sad. Anyway, go on. But then I'm like crying. So I'm like, wait, I'm sad too. What? Anyway, moving right along.
And I'll be like, put on your yama glasses.
And you're like, mah, 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 put on your yama glasses.
What about putting your yama glasses now? Well, there you have it. The yep. five yamas, which constitute the first limb of the eight limbs of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions or any examples of how you integrate these in your life, please share.
Yeah. Or if you're curious about, like, how to, or you have a situation where you didn't and you're like, what could I have done differently? We can play with that, too.
Because we're flexible.
We're flexible.
See what I did there?
I did.
Okay, yogis and yoginis. I hope you liked this episode and... we'll see you next time.
Yep. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Intersectional Yoginis podcast.
If you liked this episode, please rate and share. If you didn't like it,
please don't go rating.
You can find us on Instagram at
The Intersectional Yoginis.
Namaste.
Namaste.